Ago, we drank a lot. My friends and I drank plenty. I couldn't say the bills we paid. I only know that there were many. Secrets to life's meanings. Oh, did we care? I do despair. And we didn't take much heeding.
Sean William Clarke may be one of Toronto's best-kept secrets. After spending time as a sideman for Timber Tombra and Alenka and the Autumn Lovers, he is now forging a career as a singer-songwriter. As much a storyteller as a singer-songwriter, Sean strives to make the subject matter for his songs as important as the beautiful melodies that accompany his well-crafted lyrics. His first solo album, 2010's Like Birds Too Tired to Fly, was very well received. He's just about to release his latest album, William, produced by James Bunton. We reached him at home in Toronto. So it's great to talk to you today, Sean.
It's great to be here.
Well, I'm really pleased to be able to have this interview. You've just released your new album. It is entitled William. Now, I didn't realize that. At first, I thought it was entitled Sean William Clarke, and then I realized, no, the actual title of the album is William. Is William your second name? I wondered where that came from.
Yeah, it's my middle name, yeah. Yeah, and I it was sort of I guess I was kind of rebranding a little bit by going with my full name. And then so William just seemed like a nice title for the album as well.
So you have actually rebranded to Sean William Clark. Is that how we introduce you from now on?
Yes, exactly. That's the plan anyway.
Okay. Well, I always like to start these interviews as we're trying to get to know the artist. Just talk a little bit about why you decided to make music your career. It's always interesting. I know you've been a sideman. You've played with different artists before. But let's go way back to the beginning and talk about your early days in music. What are your memories of that?
I think my first performance memory was in kindergarten. I remember my teacher, I don't know why I had sung this song for her, but she thought it'd be fun for me to sing it to a class of grade eights in the library. So I got up on a table and sang Rockin' Robin to a bunch of older kids.
That's a good song to be singing.
Yeah, actually, that's not a bad song at all.
Not a bad song at all, no.
Yeah, so I think that was my first performance. So I guess it's singing and performing was something that always interested me. I don't know when I finally decided that it's something I could do for a career, and I don't even know if I think that now. But, so I guess that would be the first, and been singing ever since, I guess.
So did you move from there into lessons, or did you start on the guitar? I know you play guitar and uke predominantly, but I wondered if it was the guitar the first instrument you went to?
It was the first instrument I was interested in as a teenager. I was a big fan of classic rock, so I wanted an electric guitar, but my parents said they would get me an acoustic guitar. And if I learned that, they would get me an electric guitar. I think it was a way for them to not have to deal with the noise of an electric guitar for a while. So I didn't really pick it up right away. It was something that came a little later. I kind of started performing as a singer at first, singing in rock bands in high school. And I was also playing saxophone a lot in like jazz bands and stuff. And I think I just got bored with being up on stage and not doing anything else. So I started playing guitar casually but then I went to Humber College for saxophone. So guitar was sort of on the back burner for a while. And it's really been within the last, I don't know, 15 years or 10 years or so that I've been, more interested in acoustic guitar.
So do you play sax much now?
I don't. No, not really. I think something about schooling, I don't know if it just turned me off of it or something, and then I just got too focused on, guitar and singing. But I've been thinking a lot about it lately. Like, I've been listening to a lot of jazz lately, more so. So, I don't know, I may drag it out of the closet sometime soon. I'd like to, anyways.
It's interesting because, when the first song we played today was the first track off the new album. Remember, the album is called Sean William Clark, predominantly William. But the first track we listened to was 10 years ago, which has the beautiful horns on it. And I absolutely love it. I love brass, and I love hearing brass on, folk and roots records as well. There is something about the warmth that brings. But I was curious as to whether that arrangement come from you, or did that come from, I think, Stephen Dight, who was playing the horns on the record?
I had an idea for opening up the album with, the last waltz. You're familiar with the last waltz? There's this great, I think it's for The Weight. It starts with this horn intro, and it's kind of like a New Orleans funeral dirge.
It is,
thing.
Yeah. We're talking about the last waltz, which was the final concert by the band.
That little live introduction, it's short, but it's such a great intro in the song. And of course, they have that great riff that goes into the song. But it was kind of inspired me to do something like that. And so I told Steve what I wanted, and I said, and I told he knew what the melody was. I said, if you can arrange the melody that would be great. And he sent me like two or three different kind of versions with slight variations, and that was the one we went with.
The new album, is that your second solo album? I think the album that came out before that was Like Birds Too Tired to Fly, which I think, was that 2010?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
Yeah.
In 2010. So this is my second full-length album, yeah.
Before you started with your solo work, I think you were a sideman, and I think you were playing with Timber Tambra and Olenka and the Autumn Lovers, is that right?
Mm-hmm, that's correct, yeah, yeah. Olenka and the Autumn Lovers was sort of the first, I guess this sort of direction in my life kind of starts when I first played with Olenka, and I had played a gig with her, one of my first gigs as an acoustic solo guitar player, and I found her through MySpace back when that was relevant, and so you know, we did a gig in London, me, her, and this wonderful songwriter named Kaya Fraser, and then she asked me to play with her a couple times, and then I ended up being part of her band. So that was great. I played, you know, saxophone and guitar and glockenspiel and sang and sort of was a bit of everything. So that was sort of the start.
And then you went from there to Timber Tambra as well?
Yeah. I met him in with Taylor, who's the front man from Timber Tambra. I met him in at a show in London. And he found out I was a saxophone player, and he just said, "Oh, I've been looking for a saxophone player." So it was just like, I played maybe eight or so shows with him, and which was a totally different experience. And I was predominantly saxophone with him. That's all I played. But played some really interesting gigs because it's such an interesting style of music. Very, very eerie, and it's really wonderful to be a part of.
Do you think that sort of start helped you as you started to formulate your own solo career?
Mm-hmm, definitely. Especially with Olenka, a lot of her influences, I got into them myself through her, like Gillian Welsh, for example, or Flying Burrito Brothers, you know, these sort of things, which I'd never really listened to before, that she turned me on to. Jim O'Rourke was one that she turned me on to that I really got into, and who was a few of his songs were a big influence on my guitar playing. And so that was huge doing those projects.
So it's interesting when I listen to the album, the thing that strikes me is a very relaxed feel to it. You know, I want to talk a little bit about the production in a few moments, which I think was James Bunton was your producer on this album. But there is a very relaxed nature, and I wonder whether that's comes from the way that you write the songs, the way that you decide to arrange them. But you have a very mellow voice, and I find that with the vocals over the beautiful melodies, I find it almost floats along, and I'm just wondering whether that is a style that you've developed over the years or whether it's something that you brought forward for this album.
Maybe a bit of both. Try as I may, I'm not very good at writing fast songs or like, you know, really, you know, energetic songs, I've written a couple, but they just never feel right. You know, I just can't quite own up to them, you know? So I think that's part of it. I just gravitate towards, you know, quieter songs. Now production, one of the things me and James talked about is, one thing I was really interested in was I really like albums that kind of, you know, ebb and flow. You know, they kind of, they're not rigid, you know, and so I think that was a conscious effort on our part to try to make sure that happened. Also, I think we recorded up in Gravenhurst at a place called Curry's, and it was just such a great, relaxed atmosphere, so that probably helped a lot as well.
So when you write the songs, do you tend to work with the melody first and then, you know, work on the lyrics afterwards, or are you somebody that tends to write lyrics and keep lyrics and then eventually come up with melodies to go with them?
Yeah, it's always the music and melody first. pretty much, you know, 90% of the time, I kind of find a guitar part that feels really good. And then, you know, then I'll hum something over top of it. And, you know, and then, you know, I find a melody that's nice. And then I kind of, you know, I hum, but I also kind of throw words in as I'm going through the melody. And sometimes I'll just find a line. And then from there, that'll help determine what the song's going to be about. Sometimes I'll approach it with an idea, but what I want the song to be about. But it's kind of more organic, like that, yeah.
We're going to go back to the album just now, because I would like to play another song. Now, the song I thought would be fun to play as we are having a conversation is a song that's actually called In Conversation. Can you tell us a little bit about that song?
Well, it started out with a friend of mine. So I'm from Orillia, Ontario, and in Orillia, of course, they have the Mariposa Folk Festival, but there's also this little festival called the Arts for Peace Festival, and I had a friend who was involved in it, and she asked me to play, and then she said, kind of flippantly, you know, you should write a song of peace for it, and I was kind of like, well, you know, I kind of laughed it off, and I thought, oh, could I write a song like that? And I couldn't. So I ended up writing this song, which is more a song about not seeing things in black and white, like sort of seeing the grays that are in a lot of things. So that's where that came from.
All right. This is Sean William Clark from his new album, William. And the song we're going to listen to is a track entitled In Conversation, and you're listening to Folk Roots Radio with Jan Hall.
Write a song of peace, she said. I'd love to find one in my head, but sometimes it's just cobwebs and TVs. I could write a song of love and loss, of deep regrets, dramatic cost, cause that's the way the muses carried me. Oh, I know there's peace in rock and roll. And oh, I know it's out of my control. And oh, I know terrifies my soul. It sometimes worries me. What would my great hero say if he heard me carry on this way? I just don't think he'd really give a damn. He used to sing of peace and love, but gave it all for God above, and now he plays the blues in holy lands. Oh, I know there's peace in rock and roll. And oh, I know it's out of my control. And oh, I know terrifies my soul. It sometimes worries me. Song of peace, a protest song, a grand display of right or wrong. I've never been at comfort with those terms. I used to think in black and whites, but grays are taking up my side. I start to reconsider what I've learned. Oh, I know there's peace in rock and roll. And oh, I know it's out of my control. And oh, whoa, 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 I know it terrifies my soul. It sometimes worries. It sometimes worries.
That was Sean William Clark from his new album, William, and a song entitled Conversation. And Sean William Clark is our guest on Folk Roots Radio today. He is just about to release his new album. It is entitled Sean William Clark. And if I'm right, Sean, I think your CD release takes place at the end of November. Is that right?
It does, yeah. So the album kind of came out about a month ago, but it was kind of a little hectic, so I didn't book a release party right away. So I went on tour, I went to the East Coast, came back, and then now finally I'm having this this party on the 29th. Yeah.
And where is that taking place?
It's at a place called Array Space, which is this neat little venue. It's just actually kind of a performance space that's on Walnut Street in Toronto, and it's kind of tucked away in this, you know, kind of unassuming factory looking place. There's like an ice factory thing beside it, and yeah, I saw a show there, and I just thought, yeah, this is the place. This is the kind of thing I want. So.
Oh, that's great. What yeah. Tell us a little bit about the songs on the album. One of the things that I notice about the way you write is you very much like to tell stories. And we were talking just before we played that last song about how you come up with a melody and then you think about some words to fit to the song. And I just get the feel that you do like to tell stories as part of the songs. And I wanted to give you a chance to talk about why that is important to you.
Well, I'm interested in storytelling within the genre. I like how people tell stories within folk music. Bob Dylan being the biggest influence. And of course his different phases in his career, he told stories totally differently. And I find that really interesting. And I don't know. I think songs should kind of say something, or else what's the point? You know, not really in a commercially viable field, so I just want to tell stories, I guess.
On this album, we're not going to be able to play these songs today. Unfortunately, we don't have time to do that. But there are songs that I really love because they're obviously very personal, like the Transat Club song is a fun song because it basically talks about the start of a relationship, and it's a rather nice story. Can you tell us a little bit about that one?
Yeah, that was I was at a concert at the Great Hall, and there's this photographer who goes to all the really interesting shows. Like, he's one of those guys, if you see him at a show, you know you're at a good show. He's just kind of like, because I don't think he really works for any particular magazine or anything. He's just, you know, just the guy who knows where the good shows are. So he was at a show taking pictures like he always does, but he had a girl with him doing pictures as well, like, so someone he was working with. And me and my friend were chatting, and we just thought it'd be funny if this was like their first date. And so that was the spark that inspired the song. So it starts at Transat Club because it's one of my favorite places in Toronto for venues, and yeah, just kind of goes from there.
What about the song about the Ballad of a Boorish Man? I mean, that's another interesting song because of the title and then the lyrical matter, which reflects on attitudes to life.
Yeah, that's a bit of a character study, that song. It's, you know, a type of person who I'm sure we all know the type. We've all met this type of person. I've exaggerated the character a fair bit, like, maybe grotesquely, but it's also the type of character you don't hear songs about, so I think that's sort of where that came from. Beyond that, I also thought, I think there's this kind of dark humor in the song that I like. I like the line about, you know, telling your kids that this whole story of your life is to tell your kids to straighten up or else you're getting kicked to the curb. I think that's kind of funny in a dark way.
Yeah, no, it is funny. We will actually, as we get to the end of this interview, and if you're listening at home, please stay for the end because we're going to play a song entitled I Blame the Loyalist Ghost, which I think is another one that has a wonderful story and a little bit of humor in that as well that we definitely need to discuss. Let's talk a little bit about the album again. I did want to talk about the production because I mentioned before there was a very airy feel to that. Is that all about the fact that you found this great little studio to record in?
Yeah, that's definitely part of it. The Curry's down in Gravenhurst. It's this really great place that it's they sell guitars and instruments, but they also have a studio, and they also have, you know, records and antiques, and and it's just this great vibe. I was like kind of like a kid in a candy shop. You know, I had all these great guitars that I could use. And then ultimately it comes down to the Andrew and Rob Curry are just two wonderful people. And you know, when you surround yourself with good people, it's easy to be more relaxed. So that was a big influence on the feel of the album. I think James, production was really helpful for that too. He understood what I was going for. Maybe even a little more than I did. You know, he was really good at figuring it out. Like I said earlier, we both wanted an album that kind of breathes. And I said that a lot when recording. You know, I just want things to breathe. We didn't use click tracks very much. Just kind of relied on, you know, good musicians who can, you know, keep time.
Yeah, we've talked about the musicians. I did want to talk about some of the other vocalists that appeared on the album, because I know Sarah Beattie appears on two tracks, and then Sarah Cianto, who plays accordion, also is involved in vocals as well. And I love the interplay between your voice and this female singer that's on the tracks with you.
Yeah, I really like the sound of harmonies. I kind of feel like my voice works well with a female voice. And then of course both of the Sarahs are fantastic singers and totally different approaches to singing, which I find interesting. So yeah, Sarah Beattie is you know, she has a little bit more of kind of she's got a bit more of a country sound to her voice. Folky country, a little looser, which was great for, you know, Some Nerve. I actually wrote that song with her in mind to sing on it, and luckily it worked out that she could. And then Sarah Cientar has a bit more of a trained voice, beautiful tone, and she's also very, very smart when it comes to finding harmonies, and just, you know, kind of setting in place. So it was great having both of them, and if I could have figured out, I would have had more singers on there.
do you think that's something you'll think about for the future? Because I do love the way that you sing with them, and I think it's because you have this very nice mellow quality, and then when the female voice comes in, and you feel that interplay, you know, it kind of, I don't know, you mentioned Rockin' Robin earlier on, but I'm suddenly thinking about, you know, Elton John and Kiki Dee singing Don't Go Breaking My Heart, and I think, right, oh my right. God, I could see you doing a cover version of that sometime.
yeah, well, you know, it is something I've thought about, like, for the, you know, depending on the songs on the next album, if I could figure out how to stuff more great singers, female singers on the album, I will. there's definitely a lot of really great singers out there who I'd love to work with, so yeah. Just a matter of writing the songs and getting the time to do it.
I do want to ask you a little bit about the ukulele. You play ukulele, actually. I think you first came to my attention because you brought out the EP, the Sunday Quiet EP.
Oh, yeah.
You enjoy writing for a ukulele?
Yeah. You know, I haven't done a lot of writing directly for ukulele. Both those songs on the album that are, I play a baritone ukulele on the album, and both those songs are originally written on guitar. I do love just playing the ukulele, though. It's very relaxing. Like, it's just puts me in a nice zone, just even just strumming it. And I would like to write more on it. I did a series of videos last year, I guess. I released a song a week that I learned on ukulele and on a video series. just so that I could learn how to play it. But one thing I found was because of, you know, the four strings instead of six, I could find more interesting chords easier, which lent itself more to, you know, older songs like Always, the Irving Berlin song, and Paper Moon, things like that. So I would definitely like to explore writing on the ukulele a lot more.
And what about instrumental music?
Yeah, I do enjoy doing that. There's one instrumental on the album, but I've got lots of little instrumental riffs and things that I'd love to explore as well. One of the biggest influence on the album was a band called Penguin Cafe Orchestra. Are you familiar with them? Yeah, I really love that music. It's all instrumental, interesting instrumentation, but it can be kind of repetitive in a good way. Like it's very influenced by like African music, so there's a lot of repetition, and there's kind of a loose feel to it. Like it's not metronomic. If that's even a word, is metronomic a word? Anyway, it's not like, you know, it's just more loose and nice. And I think I just lost my train of thought a bit, but.
I think we understand where you're going, but it's interesting because there's a wonderful ambient feel with the album. And you know, I don't want to belabor that point, but mm-hmm. at the same time, I do kind of feel that, you know, I look at the potential for the future here, and I want to lead to that. It's always tricky. You know, we're talking about your new album, but I always have to ask the question, well, you know, what happens in the future? You know, you mentioned maybe having an album that maybe have perhaps a little bit more duetting on it. I also get the feel that there is potentially some very interesting instrumental music that could come through as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And those are both things I've given a lot of thought. One thing I'd really like to do, I was in Newfoundland, I guess it was 2 years ago, and while I was there, I fell in love with it because, you know, beautiful place, and I had, I wrote one sort of instrumental song when I was there, and I'd really loved if I had time to go back and be able to just kind of write like a suite or something, you know, like an instrumental, you know, four song acoustic suite or something inspired by the place, and I would like to do some of that kind of stuff. So branching out would be nice for the future, like doing something a little different, like you said, an instrumental album or more of a duet album or more vocal focused album.
Yeah, you know, I think whenever people talk about the suite, I always think how fun it is when, if you think back to the days of vinyl, which, let's be honest, are back with us, but that mm-hmm. idea that you could use one side of a vinyl record and have four or five tracks that form a suite is a beautiful thing.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Or even like releasing a 10-inch or a 45 of a couple songs that are thematic. Mm-hmm. I think that's the potential is pretty high.
Yeah, no, that's great. Can I talk a little bit about the live experience? We mm-hmm. mentioned that you have your CD release. It takes place at Array Studio in Toronto, I think, on Saturday, November the 29th.
Yep.
What are the live dates you currently have planned?
Well, there's not a lot. I kind of hibernate in the December and January, but I'll be doing... on the Wednesday before my CD release, I'll be doing a couple songs at an improv show. So me and a friend of mine is in an improv troupe called One Night Stand. And they're a very, very funny group. And they came runner-up in the Now Magazine's Best of T.O. And I came runner-up for Best Songwriter in that competition, and so we decided it'd be fun to do a whole night of like second best of Toronto. so that's going to be a lot of fun, and it's proceeds are going to I believe it's the Redwood shelter for women, so I'm really excited about that. I'll only be playing a couple songs, but it'll be a great night if you like comedy and, you know, a good cause. Then there's the CD release on the 29th, which will be great. My friends Graydon and Laura from the young novelists will be opening up. So that'll be a lot of fun, and I'll have a full band for that, which will be nice. And then the only other show I have, I'm going to be opening for another one of my good friends, Jerry Legere, at the Dakota.
And the Situation, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think he'll have his band. You're right. Yeah. Jerry Legere and the Situation. Yeah. And I think that's the 12th of December, and it's the early show, so that'll be great. Jerry's fantastic songwriter, so it'll be a good night of music.
Now that's wonderful. Well, thanks for sharing that. Mm-hmm. Couple of things we need to do before we get to a final song. Remind people how they can learn about your music.
Oh yeah, just check out my website, which is www.seanclarkmusic.com. I also have a Bandcamp page, which is just under Sean Clark. But you can find that all on my website, and yeah, and listen to as much as you like.
And what's the best way to pick up the album?
Well, if you're in Toronto, in stores is really easy. On Sonic Boom, Soundscapes, June Records, and likely General on Roncesville. Those four places all have CDs and vinyl of my new album. If you're an online kind of person, iTunes is great, or Bandcamp.
That's wonderful. Okay, we're going to play our final song today, which will be I Blame the Loyalist Ghost. I love the title. I love the fact that you have that kind of historical perspective woven in there. But the song's really about something a little different, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it, you know, it's a very, very simple concept. I was in Charlottetown two or three times in a row, and it just so happened it coincided with being sick, or one time was on tour and I just happened to be a little down, you know, missing home. So the song sort of was a way to, I guess, exercise those demons. And actually I would be amiss if I didn't say that the title I owe to my girlfriend. She when I was telling her about how, you know, down I was, she just kind of texted me this, well, Blame the Loyalist Ghost, and which I thought was really clever. So that's my songwriting secret I stole from my girlfriend.
Well, that's great. I actually got sick myself in Charlottetown.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's funny. We have those stories, although I do love the place very much as well.
Beautiful.
Yeah. It's been a great pleasure to talk to you today, Sean. I wanted to thank you for spending the time to do that. Remember, the new album is entitled William. It is by Sean William Clark. You can check him out at his website, which is seanclarkmusic.com. This is I Blame the Loyalist Ghost from Sean William Clark, and you're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
Ghost for me. 100%. Every time I plant my feet, Charlottetown, Charlottetown. I blame the loyalist ghost for making me so sick. First time I set my eyes on Charlottetown, Charlottetown. Ghost for making me depressed. My heart it ached for my true love, Charlottetown, Charlottetown. Charlottetown. Charlottetown.